And I knew instantly this was Jesus. That moment is so impactful that it carries over years later in a way that is fresh, in a way that is beyond words. I instantly knew that I was in the presence of love, and that was my first thought. So I thought, so this is love. So this is love.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi guys, thank you for tuning in to what is going to be an extremely special conversation today in this week's episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright, and my special guest joining me today. Honestly, this is for me, it's a very holy moment. It's a very profound conversation, and I can see the Lord has ordered our steps to come together to be able to talk today, to have this conversation with you all. He has interviewed many people, spoken to many hundreds of people over the last number of years who have died. They've gone to heaven and they have been sent back by Jesus. He is one of them. And you're going to hear some of his story today. He's the host of Heaven Encounters TV show on Sid Roth's channel. He's the host of Revelation from Heaven, which is a podcast. He's an author, and now of his new book, which it contains his testimony, which is called Heaven Stormed. It's my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Randy Kaye. Randy, welcome.
Thank you, Liz. I'm greatly blessed.
Oh, so am I. It's so good to meet you. And like I said, you know, reading your testimony in your book, I was so profoundly moved. I mean, how couldn't you be? You know, just the fact that you actually died, went to heaven, met Jesus, all sorts of things were shown to you in heaven that obviously, I mean, it's an understatement to say that that experience profoundly changed your life. I mean, you were just not the same after it. Of course, I mean, you've seen, met the truth, you've met God, and just, it's just incredible. I think your testimony gives us hope. It gives us hope, you know, much more than, I mean, hope in itself is a gift for us, but it's so impacting. So I could talk to you for at least 12 hours straight. So I can condense a very rich, beautiful, holy experience conversation into about 30 minutes. But anyway, so just, I wanted to start, Randy, just by asking you, what happened to you? So you died and went to heaven. Can we start there? What happened to you?
Yes. Well, I was coming back from a meeting, actually an interview with a major healthcare company, the largest actually in the world. We had introduced in my prior position a drug that would have been a potential cure for Alzheimer's, front cover of Time magazine, all of the major networks. And then I ran a biotech company. And so I was interviewing with this major corporation, and when I returned, I went quickly to bed and then got up in the middle of the night, went downstairs to drink some water, and my calf was sore. And I thought it was just a strain, perhaps, that I'd strained myself going up the stairs or what have you. And I decided to go for a bike ride. And we lived at the time in San Diego, California. So I rode my bike up the coast. And what was a straight road seemed like a steep incline because I couldn't breathe. And what was happening is that I had developed some blood clots. I let it go for many hours. By the time I got back, I could not breathe, took my inhaler because I have asthma. And I went to the orthopedic surgeon of all things because we were planning a trip to the mountains, and I collapsed and I was rushed to the ER. The doctor told me that I was a walking dead man. I had six clots blocking my pulmonary artery, which is the main blood flow to the lungs. But because I developed MRSA, which is a bacterial resistant strain, I should say antibiotic resistant strain of a bacteria, then I started clotting throughout my body. And then my bloodstream was a traffic jam of clots. It was then that I went into spasms and I clinically died. And I was dead for a little over 30 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Whoa. So what happened the moment you died when you left your body? What was that like when you went? Did you go straight into heaven? What happened? What was it like?
I did not. The Bible talks about heavens plural, and I saw my body, which had been flopping around on the bed like a fish out of water, and it was still. And I was in a surreal place. I was looking from the top as I was being pulled down at my body being pulled by this light. And I found myself in a very surreal environment initially. Now I think it's important to preface that I was in a state of consternation because our drug failed. We lost essentially millions of dollars, and then the biotech company we had to raise around $70 to $80 million. So I was in a point. My daughter had strokes, so I was in a point where I would. Had questioned God, have you abandoned me? I was born anew, born again, but in that state of mind in which I came into my afterlife, not a near death, but if I was truly dead, was a place of spiritual warfare. And I could see two sides that were battling against each other. On the right side were these gallant looking figures in armor. The light was shining against their armor. And on the other side, I could see these decrepit looking figures of equal size. And both sides looked otherworldly. They didn't look like humans. But I was a spectator of what was going on at that point. I came to know after the fact that this was spiritual warfare going after my soul. Now, I was born anew. I was destined, I believe, for heaven at that time. But they were fighting, as I understood later, over the rights to my soul to speak to me, to really speak either that of peace, of comfort, or of fear and of doubt on the other side. And it was the light of Christ that was shining both on me and upon the angels on the right side, the fallen angels, of course, were demons, that cascaded down on me. So I knew I was protected. I felt peace, comfort, but it was the victory as I saw the angels victorious over the demons that I was inspired to cry out the name of Jesus. And that was all I knew, all I wanted, all I had was to cry out the name of Jesus. And then I was cheek to cheek with a figure.
With Jesus.
And I knew instantly this was Jesus. That moment is so impactful that it carries over years later in a way that is fresh. In a way that is beyond words. I instantly knew that I was in the presence of love, and that was my first thought. So I thought, so this is love. So this is love. And I cave to the ground in adoration with every superlative I could think of to praise him. And he
Boring out.
reached down and he lifted me up. And I didn't even think I could look into his eyes, but he turned me to look straight into the eyes of love. And his light tunneled into every dark place within me, illuminating me with the light of Jesus Christ. And then, having been an non-trusting, if you will, person, you know, having gone through this consternation, he leaned into my right ear and he whispered these two words. He said, "Trust me." And then he hugged me. Oh, that hug of Jesus. Everything was pure and wonderful and beyond any explanation. And then what happened, Liz, is that we went on a journey. We went on a journey through my life, what is commonly termed the afterlife review. And that's a phenomena which is, I think, largely not understood as to why Jesus would walk me in that case, in my case, of course, through these vignettes where I was on what I called the theater of life. And I was seeing my life from the earliest stages as a child through on to adulthood, and how I became an agnostic. And I realized, and then the story started, started in the book with my being at a wake where the body of my uncle who had died was in the coffin. And I realized that death at that time took on for a child such a scary, frightening meaning that scarred me. And I realized that as the Lord was walking me through my theater of life, where I was actually there, I was there in those places. I was not like I was in a movie theater at all.
So
I
you
was
were
there.
Back in time with Jesus. You
yes.
actually were physically there again, looking at your life with him.
Yes, and he was, not only was he healing me, Liz, he was showing me that he had been with me from the time I was a child, young child. And he was weaving together through my life a redemption of my life, that his calling was on my life. Even when I had rejected him, he did not reject me. And I learned the overwhelming love of God through these. I even learned the power of prayer when I went into a hospital room as an orderly when I was young. It was in high school. And he was showing me this. And I saw this cancer patient. It was about a 6 or 7 year old boy. And this young boy, he was skin and bones, veins protruding through his skin. I mean, he was very emaciated. And he, as I was serving him food, and I was an agnostic at the time because I had rejected God. I didn't believe that God really existed. And the boy said that he said, "I'm going to heaven." He knew that he was dying. He was going to heaven. And I said, "Well, that's great. You know, I don't really believe in that sort of thing, if you will. But if there is a heaven, I know you'll be there." And he said, "You're going to be there someday." Prophetically, he told me that I would be in heaven. And that boy did go to heaven. It was a couple of days later that he was taken to heaven. And I was seeing that when he prophetically called out, that indeed I would be in heaven. And as I was seeing that, I was there in heaven. And God was showing how he was weaving these different things together, and the power of prayer and the power of his Holy Spirit to not give up on me, even when I had given up on him.
Oh my gosh. Did you So, as Jesus was with you and you were looking at all the different episodes of your life, you said he was healing you. So, what was the overriding experience? Was he showing you his heart towards you in all those moments of your life and making sense for you of your life? What was it
Yes.
like? What was the greatest impact of that experience for you with Jesus?
Oh, that's the $1 million question,
That
isn't it,
if you can
Liz?
even,
What
I would
was the
like to
greatest impact?
imagine.
The
So you
greatest
have a life with Jesus.
Yes. The greatest impact was what he would impart to me so that I could impart it to your audience, to anyone who would hear of this account, because I wanted to stay. And when he told me I was going to come back, and he told me this before we went to the throne room, which is what Heaven Stormed is about, which is the unfolding of the end times. And a butterfly rested on my shoulder. And I wasn't distraught so much as it is I just wanted to stay so desperately. And this butterfly I knew was representative of something, because everything in heaven is intentional. And so I asked him, and he said that was represented wisdom, that butterfly, that would guide me. And I was a driven person. I was, in the corporate arena, started companies and all that stuff. And he said, and I wanted a blueprint. I wanted him to tell me what I should do. And he said, moment by moment, my spirit will direct your ways. And that was a diametrical shift for me coming back. And so I think when you say, what was the most impactful, or what was all of this about? It's about you. If you're watching this, it's about you. Because the first impression I had, besides, so this is love from Jesus, is that he looked at me as though I was the most important person in the world. There was no one else. It was all about me, all about you. It was the most intense, absolutely pure look of love and importance that he placed upon yours truly, as it is for anyone. And I think that one important revelation of how absolute God's love is for each of us is something that is unparalleled with any relationship, any person in our lives, however much loving they may be, is that absolute devotion that God has for us, so that he would sacrifice himself, if but for the one. And that was a revelation that came out of that experience that I think I besides revealing the heart of love, that is the heart of love, as how important you are to the Lord God. All important.
I loved, Randy, when you were talking, when I was reading your testimony, and you were talking about how when Jesus was talking with you, he constantly referred to you as the beloved. His beloved, it's that he is love, isn't he? He is love. And
Yes.
also how it really impacted me how when you were, look, he was showing you your life, there was just grace, grace.
Yes.
Everything was about. It's about trusting him, receiving his grace, receiving his love, and how that burns in his heart, that would be our experience. And like you said, he was weaving all the circumstances of your life into this tapestry that would ultimately lead to him. Like he's so, it's a mystery, isn't it? It's like his sovereignty is still a mystery to us, but you got a glimpse of that as you saw the tapestry of your life. in front of you from his perspective, but it impact it, I could feel it. I could feel the weight of his invitation in your words to trust him, to know our belovedness, to be able to open our hearts again and dare to believe him and turn our heart to him again. But this capacity to trust him, I think, is essential. It's essential. It's the way we were created to live, wasn't it? But that really impacted me. It's like, just trust him.
Yeah.
He's working all things, which I think you said is your favorite scripture. He works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called
Yes.
according to his purposes, which is all of us, right?
Yes.
So profound.
I love what you say, Liz, about the kind of the have to versus the want to. A lot of times, I think, at least in my perspective going into this, was I have to merit God's grace. And, but it was putting the proverbial cart before the horse, because what he was teaching me was the fact that he knew my heart. And his judgment was really a judgment of a discernment of what my heart was. Did I seek after the truth? Would I be satisfied with just the truth that the world presented versus the truth that God presented? That is, knowing God versus just a cursory understanding or belief in God. That could be like the parable of the seed falling on the thistle, you know, that would just fall down and it doesn't take root. He knew that I was an earnest truth seeker, if you will, you know, John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And it was that freedom, because one of the things he told me, which was mind-blowing when I think back on it, he said, when you stop judging yourself, you'll stop judging others. And it was point on, as God is for each of us, because I realized, you know, being the overachiever, you know, and getting the straight A's and trying to, you know, excel at everything and being overly competitive in my nature, that I was judging myself as not sufficient. And I would be the judge of that. And more importantly, others would be the judge of whether I was sufficient. When God was saying, I am sufficient for you, and I alone am sufficient for you. And when I came back, I learned a couple of lessons that were quintessential to the way that I live today. One is that living that moment by moment, and my purpose is filled in the moments of life versus a status or seeking after some position. But the second one was that my heart needed to seek after him in a way that defied my desire to trust in anyone other than God. That he would, by virtue of himself, not only validate who I was, as he validates each of us, but also relinquish that need for each of us, myself in this particular case, to achieve some godly state. Now, I don't mean that we are to live abandonment, and we must live according to, obviously, a standard by which God has ordained in his word that is very clear. But I'm saying that seeking after the heart of God is changing that have to the want to. And so I want to please the Lord, because I know how much he loves me. I know how
That's the power, isn't it? That's the place.
it's overwhelming. I just can't live up to that love. But he can pull me up to that love. I guess that's what I'm saying.
And as we experience that love, The only choice is obedience, isn't it? It's a natural overflow, and you know that so profoundly, having been completely with him. I want
Yes.
to ask you, Randy, if you can articulate for us in a succinct way, because I realize these are humongous subjects. You talk in your testimony about an area of revelation that the Lord gave you that just stunned me. And it was about when you began to receive understanding from Jesus and from the Father of your are I amness, the core divine nature. And I wondered if you could just share with us a little bit about what happened to you, what you were shown in terms of our innate value, because I was stunned by it.
Well, the innate value was external to who I was, so that I am, the great I am, became my value and my validation. But a lot of talk about heaven, I think, Liz, I think to your point, is about the nature or supernature, if you will, about heaven. You know, how it looks and all of the beauty and everything lives and nothing dies and all of that. And what mattered most to me was being the presence of the Lord. You could have thrown me into a trash bin, and if it was with Jesus, that would have been perfectly fine. Everything else was irrelevant. Everything was irrelevant to being the presence of God. And then I realized this one epiphany, and that is that heaven and all of its beauty and all of its grandeur is about Jesus. And Jesus was home. Jesus was home and is home today. So every place I go, whether it be in a, you know, like the other day, we were passing through some tents that were with homeless people. Every place that I went, regardless of its beauty or its disgusting nature, home was with Jesus. And that sounds, I know, on the surface maybe somewhat cliche or whatever, but it really isn't. You know, because he was bringing me. Eventually, when I had these revelations of who I am in Christ, that he is my all, and all of me is all of him through me. In other words, what I'm saying is that my personhood is defined by God and not myself, is that he was preparing me to go before the throne, where I would see the unfolding of these end time events, which, if I had not understood the heart of God, and I had seen these unfolding of these, you know, these judgments and glory and the warfare and all of these things that I was perceiving that would be unfolding in these end times, I would not understand what it was all about, because I needed to have that understanding of who God is and who I am to God, that he is my all, before I could see what has, I think, been, and to a large extent, misunderstood, if not misrepresented, in terms of the unfolding of the end times.
That's profound. I have about another 1,000 questions. Just every time you speak, there's so much revelation that comes from you, and there's so, I mean, we want to know, don't we, all of us? Like, we want to know, what is heaven like? What is he like? But I just thought that was profound. He is the all in all. He is the all in all, and we are his living image, and he fills us, and it's just, yeah, and everything that isn't him will be redeemed. Everything that's not fully filled with God, fully filled in the light, he's going to wrap up human history as the in conformity with the counsel of his own will. He is the Alpha and Omega. Just in the couple of minutes that we have left, Randy, could I ask you, please, would you pray for everybody?
I would be honored.
Thank you.
Dear Lord Jesus, oh, I pray that you would pour out your presence to those right now. Bring them to heaven because I pray that you would bring each person to you, because the revelation of your personhood is heaven. Heavenly, it is, Lord, what I pray for each person, that you would just sequester this time so that everything else disappears. There is no interference of any concern, any desire, any deficit, anything, Lord God, so that you would have your way with the one for whom I pray, the one for whom you pray. So that, Lord, your spirit would be birthed in a profound way, so that it would be beyond understanding to the pure revelation of who you are to each person with consummate love, with a desire to forgive that person, each of us, more than we desire to forgive ourselves. I thank you and praise you that you never gave up on me, as you never give up on anyone who is listening or watching. You have this day, this moment in which to turn to God. Let it be forever and not just in a day. Let that revelation, Lord God, seep in of that love, which is a person and not just a characteristic. And I pray that revelation and that change, that transformation, which occurs in knowing that you, Lord God, are all, in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Wow. Amen. We agree. We agree. Whew. You will experience Jesus in a life-transforming way today, beyond anything you imagine possible. We agree. We agree. Randy, thank you so much. We're so thankful Jesus sent you back and that
Well,
we
thank
in
you.
the earth realm for a bit longer.
I yearn for going home because heaven is our home, but we are sojourners for such a short time. And Liz, I appreciate that part of that short time has been with you and your audience today.
Thank you so much. And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time. And we really do pray this is a week of transformational encounters for you. Have the most glorious day-by-day time with Jesus. And I look forward to being with you again next Monday. God bless.
2 years ago, Jesus spoke to me and he said if I would create a space for him, he would come. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.